We greet you in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday of the year, and it's universally observed as Communion Sunday. So we try to at least take the Lord's Supper once a year. But I want to talk about that today in our message. If you would, turn your Bibles to chapter 22 of the book of Luke. We'll look at verses 14 through 20. And we're going to talk about why it is that we would do what we're going to attempt to do today, and that is partake of the Lord's Supper. There are three questions I try to ask myself every Sunday in preparations for preaching. First of all, who am I? Who am I really? And what am I doing? What am I doing? Why are you getting ready? What are you doing? And hopefully that is to go and to share the gospel and to minister to God's people. And then the third question is, why? Why are you doing this? So let us think about this morning why we are doing what we're going to attempt to do here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Why? Okay, Luke chapter 22, to answer this important question, verse 14 through 20. Luke chapter 22. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Verse 19 for our text today. Likewise, and after he took bread, he gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Why would we do what we're doing today? Because our Lord said so. Amen. Our Lord. Can you say he is your Lord? If Jesus is Lord, you know, we need to obey him. And our Lord said so. That should be enough for us. Obedience. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this first Sunday of the year of our Lord 2024. We thank you that we can assemble together. And we're mostly well today, dear Lord. Some are still ailing. But thank you that you've graced us, dear Lord, to be able to gather together in your name on the Lord's Day today. I pray that you would bless the service today, that you would fill each heart with your goodness and love, dear Lord. I pray the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, as we share the Lord's Supper today, dear Lord. And I pray that we will understand why we're doing so and what we're doing. Father, I pray for the needs among us today, that there be one here today who is lost and doesn't know you as Lord, that they'd get that fixed today. I pray for those who are burdened in trouble, that they might find some peace and comfort here today in the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bless the church today, dear Lord. Fill us with power and with thy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Because our Lord said so. In this account given by St. Luke, it's about a story about Jesus, and this is Passion Week. This is the Passover. This is the Passover in the holy city of Jerusalem. And shortly before he would be betrayed and would be on the cross, this is Thursday evening, and probably sometime around 5 p.m., Jesus made his way to the holy city for the last time. It would be his last trip to Jerusalem. He had already sent a couple of disciples to make ready a place where he could have the Passover meal, to share a Passover meal with his disciples. And this would be his last Passover with them. And as they are partaking and sharing of this Passover meal, you know, he institutes what we call the Lord's Supper. This is the last supper that he will share with them. He says, you know, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. The hour has come, you know. This night he will be betrayed. He will be arrested. He will go through a series of mock trials among the Sanhedrin court and ushered to Pontius Pilate, the governor of the Roman Empire there, the Roman governor who has the authority over Judea there, and where they will demand the death penalty, and he will be crucified tomorrow. And this is the Last Supper. And the Bible says that during this meal that he does something astonishing. And he gives the disciples a way to memorialize and to remember his passion. Pre-Easter, we have a lot of emphasis, you know, if you do some of the Lent things, getting ready for Easter and all. And there's usually lots of emphasis upon what we call Passion Week. And we think about the Lord's last week upon this earth and the things that he went through, the highs and the lows and finally the cross and finally bowing his head and saying, "It is finish." We think about his suffering during Holy Week, during pre-Easter, and that occasion. But Jesus devised a means here that we could remember his suffering throughout the year. We don't have to wait to Communion Sunday to do this. You know, we should think about the suffering of our Lord as we partake of food. You know, it's not the Holy Communion, but we are to be reminded. This is a way for the disciples to be reminded. You know, as human beings, we are very forgetful. And events happen to us and they wear out and pretty soon they lose their significance. We might go on practicing some things, but they sort of lose their significance. The suffering of our Lord is to never lose its significance in the heart of faithful believers. For those who call him Lord, we should never forget the pain, the suffering that he went through to purchase our salvation. Jesus says that we are to do this and to remember his suffering. You know, it needs to be refreshed in our minds. We need to think about what Jesus went through. As Baptist people, to us, we practice two ordinances of the church. There is baptism, which is the first ordinance of the church. New believers are called upon to identify with Christ and to submit themselves to water of baptism, symbolizing the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, symbolizing the newness of life that's been born into the heart of the new believer, following Jesus' example to be baptized. That is the first ordinance of the church. And God's people, we teach, should be baptized. Amen? It's an ordinance. It's a command by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for us to go and to make disciples and to baptize them. Do not leave them cold, but baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And next practice and ordinance that we practice would be the Lord's Supper. The word ordinance to us as Baptists would really come from the root of a word meaning prescribed. In other words, it is something that our Lord has prescribed for His people. And as His church, you know, we try to carry out and administer these prescriptions. You know, we got a couple of pharmacists, maybe soon to have three in our church, Danielle and Wendy, but they carry out the prescription. Your doctor will write you a prescription, and you go there, and they get it together, and we're glad to get them. Amen. A few weeks ago, I went through almost 2 weeks of whatever was going around, and it got better for a little while, and it got worse. And I went to the doctor, and my doctor said, you're getting a secondary infection. You will need an antibiotic. And I was very glad to get that antibiotic. You know, a lot of times they call them in. Glad to get them. It has been prescribed and given to us, and so we want to take it, don't we? And you notice for the last few years they put emphasis on what? Take it all. Take all. Don't take it for a couple of days and get to feeling better and to put it down. And there's a reason for that. You know, there was overprescription of antibiotics during the 70s on up through the to now, and people was inundated maybe with taking a lot of antibiotics, and often they'd take them and get feeling better and quit, and it takes the whole thing to kill that bug. It does. So our doctors and our pharmacists tell us to, when we get this prescription, to take it, right? And if we're sick, we're going to take it, and we're learning to take it as ordered, right? And take it all. Because it's important that we do so. So, and likewise, these prescriptions, this prescribed upon God's people to be baptized, it's for your benefit. It's for your good to take this prescription, to be baptized. You know, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, is good for a child of God. He gets to express his or her faith openly to the world. What has already happened and transformed their life becomes an outward symbol to the world. Public confession of Jesus. And then there is this Lord's Supper. Also, we practice as an ordinance of the church. It is important for us to do these things, you know, spiritually. The believer, and we'll share scripture in a minute, is to identify with the sufferings of our Lord. We are called upon to be able to discern the body of Christ. That means that we need to be aware and have a good understanding of knowing what we are doing, because these are serious things. You know, the prescribed things that God has given us are important. You know, not to be handled lightly and you know, just go about doing going through the motions, but we're called upon to have a deep devotion and a thinking, you know, a time that we would try ourselves, do some what we call soul searching. Who am I? Well, who am I really? You know, nobody knows us like we know ourselves, you know. Take a close examination of who we are, what we're doing, what is this all about, and why are we going about it. The Lord said to do this, to take this prescription. And so that should suffice the Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ. That should be all we need. Jesus said, do it. There's no greater thing we can do in the kingdom of God other than to obey the Lord, you know, to do the things that He said that we should do. And if you know that God has given us things for your benefit, for your Christian growth and development, and for His glory, assuring us that we would never forget the horrible pain and the horrible death that Jesus suffered upon the cross, identifying with that, you know, having a greater appreciation for our salvation, being assured of how it was secured, what Jesus had to go through to secure our salvation, our eternal home in glory. Those things didn't come cheap. Jesus suffered as no man ever did before. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, closing that chapter out, verse 46 through 49, our Lord says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" To say Jesus is Lord is to confess He is Lord of my life. Amen. He is not the historical Jesus that history gives a record about, that went about doing good, healing all manner of diseases, had some great sayings, was a great motivator, but He is actually Lord. Lord of the universe. He is Lord of my life. I confess that He is Lord. And Jesus said, if you're going to confess me as Lord, Lord, it'd be expected that you would do the things that I say. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, that. So if we would confess Jesus as Lord, why is it maybe that we are not doing what He says? Why would we do it? Because He said so. He has the authority to tell us what to do. Amen? No, we may not like that. You know, sometimes we don't like to be told what to do. Jesus has the right to tell you what to do if you are a child of God. And you ought to know that, and you ought to know that He'll not tell you anything to do that is not for your betterment. Anything that He tells you to do will be for your greater good. It'll be for His glory and for your greater good, and we should have that trust about us. Why would you ask me to do this? Just need I explain everything to you? He might say, can you not just do the things I say? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And then He gives a little parable here about those who would carry out and do the things that He says, and those who would disregard them. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you like unto whom he is. He's like a man which build an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the floods rose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Jesus said, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, you'll be all right. You'll stand the storms of life. You will be upon a foundation that is solid, and you will make it. You know, we wonder, am I going to make it? We just entered a new year. Will we make it through the year? What out there is ahead of us that frightens us and causes us to shiver? Jesus said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, you'll make it, because you'll be founded upon a rock, and that rock is solid. Amen? Jesus is the rock. And if we'll just do what He says to do, we'll be okay. But for those who would ignore, and He's saying, these are people which address me as Lord. Why would you call me Lord and say that I'm Lord of your life and then not do what I've told you to do? One of the most frustrating things for a doctor is if they give you advice and tell you what to do and you not take it. I do what my doctor and dentist tell me to do. I say, you're the doctor. You're the one that went to medical school. I trust your knowledge. You tell me. I have a young dentist, and Dr. Horton retired, and I started going to her, and she come in the first time, looked like 16 years old. Whoa. But I've since began to trust her, and occasionally, you know, I'm getting to the age I'm having a few dental problems, and I've had... She'll say, well, you got this problem here. What do you want to do with it? We can do this or do that. I said, whoa, you're the dentist here. You're the doctor. I said, what would you do if I was your daddy? She talks about her daddy. She'll tell you right quickly. I said, that's what I want you to do. You know, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to try to do what you tell me to do, because you went to dental school. I'm paying you. I'm paying my doctor. And Jesus is Lord. We need to give Him the same. Amen? We have confessed Him, and we say, Lord, Lord. Now, why would we not trust Him enough? We have it. Hopefully, by this point, we have entrusted our souls to Him for safekeeping. Why would we question His authority? Why would we question, why would you want me to do this or that? These sayings that sometimes are a little difficult to put into practice, sometimes they challenge us, but why would we question Him? And we have already called Him Lord. He said, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, your life will be founded upon a solid foundation. Storms will come. You know, I wish that we could tell new believers that there will not be any more to you. I wish that I could stand before you today and say, hey, everything's going to be a breeze this coming year. You'll not go through any storms. You'll not go through any trials. You're not going to be stressed. You're not going to be tried and gone through the fire. We can't do that. But what we can do with the Word of God is to tell you that it won't shake you. If you'll put your trust in Jesus, if you'll stand by Him, if you will obey Him, He said, you know, the storms will come, but you can stand because you'll be on a foundation. Now, to those who choose to reject His advice, but he that heareth and doeth not, these are people that know to do better. These are people who have said, Lord, Lord, I want your benefits. But I don't know about doing all this stuff you say do. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, build a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Disaster. Disaster ahead if we reject the Lord's commands. You know, if we just say, I'm just not going to do it. Why do we do the things Jesus asks us to do? Because he said so. That should be enough reason for us to be obedient. Why would we take the prescribed ordinances that he tells us to do? Because he said so. That should be good enough. We shouldn't have to have proof. Now prove it to me that it's a good idea to be baptized. Jesus was baptized. He commands us to be baptized. Why should I partake of the Lord's Supper? Prove it to me. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Take your prescriptions and take it all. Don't try to take part of it and leave it off, because that bug can come back and bite you. You can get in a lot of trouble. You can get your system immune to antibiotics. Lots of things can happen to you. Do what the great physician tells you to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 31, we are studying presently the Corinthian church. In our Wednesday night Bible study, the church at Corinth was without question the most challenging group of believers that St. Paul had to deal with in the New Testament era. They had a lot of stuff going on there. One of the things they had was issues going on about communion, or it would be called the agape feast. It was more of a church fellowship meal, a little bit down that vein. And they practiced communion more regularly, probably, than we would as a church. And it was more of a meal. But one of the things that these believers could not display was order. Or they had division. They had problems of order. Everything was out of order. They couldn't even hold communion and do it in a decent manner that brought glory to God, because they would get into it. And the Bible says that some of them even got drunk in the agape meal. They use real wine. Some of them eat before others. You know, they line up and root hog or die, every man for himself. They weren't waiting on each other. It was not done out of the spirit of love. And St. Paul has to rein it in. They'd forgotten what is the Lord's Supper. Everything going on there. Getting drunk, they was into it. There was no respect for each other and all of this. And certainly, God was not glorified in this. Certainly, Jesus and his sufferings weren't at the top of the thing that they were thinking about. They were just wanting to eat, and some of them were just wanting to drink, and all of these things. But it was taken out of context, and Paul had to rein it in. And he talks to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" This is happening for you. My suffering is happening for you. "This do in remembrance of me." This do in the spirit of remembrance, remembering respectfully what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, a new covenant. They were fulfilling the old covenant and having the Passover, which represented the deliverance of God's people out of Israel, and how the death angel passed over the houses of Israel that night when the death angel went through Egypt. That was the last plague, and that was the Passover. It was the Lord's Passover. The doorpost, it had the blood of the Lamb. The destroyer did not enter. And the Bible says there was a cry throughout the land of Egypt that night. And Pharaoh said, get your people out of here. He'd had enough. It was the Lord's Passover. God told him by an ordinance to remember this. It is the Exodus. That is the bedrock of Old Testament faith. The account of God's deliverance from his people in Egypt and giving them the law at Sinai and all the things that God had done for them becomes the bedrock of Old Testament faith. And at this Passover, Jesus says, I am instituting a new covenant for you. We come in under the new covenant. That new covenant was written in the blood of Jesus Christ. That new covenant that we have entered in by the blood of Jesus, that gives us a home and glory and peace of heart as we reign in Jesus' name on this earth. Amen? In my blood, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And Paul is emphasizing here to the Corinthians, you better know what you're doing here. Do it in remembrance of me as often as you do it. Whenever you do it, it better be about Jesus. Amen? It better be about his suffering and remembering his awful suffering that he done for us. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We're not to quit remembering and being reminded of his death, burial, and resurrection till he comes again. We are to continue this practice lest we would forget about it. We would forget about it. Until the Lord comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. There were people in Corinth who didn't have a clue what they'd done. The Lord was not upon their minds. They are known as what? A carnal-minded church. Worldly. Fleshly. And to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily here, you know, the man is guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So it causes a believer to do what? Inventory, which is a good thing. Take inventory. Now, again, who am I? Remind me, Lord, who am I really? Who am I? What am I about to do here? Why am I doing this? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. That means these Corinthians, they weren't discerning the Lord's body. It wasn't a spiritual thing for them. They weren't thinking about Jesus. To discern, to know and to be able to identify with the sufferings of our Lord. And he says, for this cause there many are weak and sickly among you. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So it's a good idea for the believer to judge yourself, take inventory from time to time, and it's certainly one of the times that we do that. This do in remembrance of me. Obedience. Remember the Lord's suffering. The first king of Israel was a man by the name of Saul. He had great potential, but he had one ailment that doomed him. And that was that he just simply would not obey. That same characteristics, Jesus said, will doom us. You know, if we reject doing his sayings, you're going to be building a house or a life upon the sand, and the storms will come and beat upon it, and it'll fall. Not only will it fall, but the fall of it and destruction will be great. It will be devastating. It's a devastating thing to not obey the Lord. When Saul finally was exposed for his just the simple thing, he wouldn't do what he's told to do. That sounds simple, doesn't it? All he had to do was do what God told him to do. But he refused to do it. That's a sign of rebellion. And he sent out on the mission to do as God told him to do, and he didn't do it. You had one thing to do, you know, and you couldn't do it. And then he tries to justify himself. Well, it was for a good purpose. It was for the greater purpose. You know, people say, well, I'm maybe disobeying this here, but it's for the greater purpose of good. Mm. And Samuel says, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. He said in disobeying the Lord, he took those sheep and all that stuff back, so we're going to have a good worship service. We're going to have a big sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice them to the Lord. And Samuel says, to obey is better than to sacrifice. The Lord wants your obedience. Obedience is the first law of the universe. Who am I? As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper today, who am I? Do some self-inventory, some self-judging. What are we about to do? Partake of the Lord's Supper. And we do that, we identify with His suffering. We are reminded. This is a memorial. The Passover was a reminder for the children of Israel that they would not forget what God done for them and brought them out of Egypt. For the believer, we are to be reminded of what our Lord done for us and brought us out of bondage, out of darkness, and translated us into His kingdom of light, but it cost Him His last blood. He suffered for us. And we are not to forget that. Who am I? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Because He said so. Now, if we call Him Lord and we say because our Lord said so, when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have no rights. He is Lord of our life. What are we going to do? Because He said so, we do this today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this day You've given us, the first Sunday of the year of our Lord, 2024. We pray, Lord, that we be able to start it off in obedience. That we call You Lord, and we're going to do the things that You say. And we're going to make a special emphasis this coming year, dear Lord, of doing all the things that You tell us to do. And now, Father, as we approach the Lord's Supper. We're going to have an invitation. If there be things that we need to take care of, we're going to give away time for that. We pray, Lord, that you would move among us. Blessed there be any here today who is lost and undone, those who feel like they need to make some preparations before they would partake in this, or any other spiritual need. We pray thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jack, if you'll come. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you're here today, you have a spiritual need that God has moved upon you, and you feel like that you need to square something away with the Lord today, we're going to give you opportunity and invite you to come and do just that as we stand together, and shortly we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. Shall we stand?